I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance.
It is amazing to me that in one unbelievable form after another, the insanity continues. Jeff Bennett here live on this 17th day of November, the edge of darkness. We have not opened with that song in quite a while. It says so much. It's a piece of music I used for a lot of years. Maybe I should go back to it. How are you tonight? Strange group of headlines bouncing all over the place. I in the last 24 hours or so, have maybe 2 days, have been cheating. I've not been getting the amount of rest, the amount of food and drink that I should. Although I will tell you, I tried to catch up with it today, the sleeping portion, the rest portion. I've been doing a fair amount of work on websites, which have been long since ignored. Predominantly, I've chosen to work on Sierra Madre and Federal Observer. And some things came to me that just... they didn't shock me. None of this garbage shocks me anymore. But several days ago, I came across one talking about television tunes, cartoons. Let's go back 7 years. The Simpsons. The Simpsons producer, whose claim that the long-running cartoon once again seemingly predicted the future, when it followed Donald Trump's announcement that he's going to run for the presidency again in 2024. Unbelievable. There's a screenshot featuring a flying Homer Simpson, a sign in the background reading Trump 2024. Trump's opened his mouth already. I can't support him. I just couldn't do it. But then, what the hell? Who is there to support? They're all idiots. Texas Governor Abbott has told Biden, if you don't enforce the border laws, I will. He invokes the invasion clause to send gunboats to the border, build a wall, work with foreign countries on security, designate cartels as terrorists, none of which Biden and his crew of asshole idiots have bothered to do. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Very interesting. Of course, now we go take a look at Upchucky Scumbag. He says we should welcome more migrants because the population is not reproducing on its own. And he wants amnesty for 11 million migrants. They keep using that 11 million number, that same number they've used for God knows how many decades. Oh, yes, he got that there running his mouth yesterday, claimed the U.S. is short of workers. So Congress needs to pass a path to citizenship for however many undocumented there are. We're short of workers. We got a population that's not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. Only way we're going to have a great future is if we welcome and embrace immigrants. Get a path to citizenship for all of them. What a jerk. Of course, then I get to wave goodbye to the biatch. Joe Biden says, I congratulate Leader McCarthy. I'm ready to work with the new House leader. GOP finally reaches 218 seats the other day to take the majority over the Democrats. Bye-bye, P. Lousy, you scumbucket. Let's hope it'll stay that way, you drooly mouth old bag. Unreal. Oh, and then I get this piece out of Europe. Joey Biden holding a piece of paper, a cheat sheet, printed up specifically for him. It says at the top, the president. At the G20 conference, informing him when to sit, when to speak, when to take a photo. The notes Biden held in his hands contain instructions for the opening remarks for that event. It's amazing. From having his picture taken and delivering the opening remarks, he was walked through how to handle himself, leading all the way up to his speech. I mean, the guy's so brain dead. Absolutely brain dead. And he accidentally revealed a list of these instructions. How stupid can you get? Tells him, you do this, you do that, you do this, you say this, you, oops, do that. No, you think part, you think, you did part, you bit, 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 bit. More insane headlines. However, the one I really want to share, Jane Fonda, age 84, says she's ready to die. She's had a great life. Is now just being realistic. Now, in September, it was revealed she'd been diagnosed with cancer. She claims she's not looking forward to passing, but she knows it looms. Not that I want to go, she says, but I'm aware that it's going to be sooner rather than later. My comment is, it's okay, bitch. I've been waiting for your time for over 50 years. And a few people don't understand the meaning of that. From me, a Vietnam vet, then you don't get it anyway. Stupid scumbag. Garbage. Pure garbage. Some other pieces we've got published. On Federal Observer today. I think this was dated today. It is. I try to do that as much as I can, but there's been a lot of months I've not been able to do that. Right? Come on, you smucker. There's something about this computer. The mouse doesn't want to work. Got an email this morning from the Center from Immigration Studies, a date of today, the 17th of November, reflecting on a half a century of mass immigration. Simple. A very simple, clean article. There's no living way in daylights we can rely on this 11 million garbage. Why is it that the Democrats and politicians in general just continue to fall back on that same old garbage? It's just appalling to me. They're so stupid. So bloody ignorant. Unreal. Yeah, somebody's buzzing on my text, but I'm not over there. We got some more headlines of a different type, more of an economic type, coming off the other side. U.S. consumers are doing exactly what they did just prior to the crash of '08. We don't learn from our mistakes, folks. Just before the financial markets crashed and the economy plunged into horrifying recession in '08, U.S. consumers went on a debt binge. Yeah, baby, they was spinning the green, Jim. They didn't learn. Why should they? Inflation is not price increases. Inflation causes price increases. These are exactly the opposite of what the government wants us to believe. Why is inflation regarded as bad news? What kind of damage does it do? Popular commentators maintain that inflation causes speculative buying, which generates waste. Inflation, it is maintained, also erodes the real incomes of pensioners and low-income earners and causes a misallocation of resources. Despite all these assertions regarding the side effects of inflation, the popular way of thinking about it cannot tell us what causes all those bad effects. Why should a general rise in prices hurt some groups of people and not others? Why should a general rise in prices weaken real economic growth? How does inflation lead to the misallocation of resources? And moreover, if inflation is just a rise in prices, surely it's possible to offset its effects by adjusting everyone's incomes in the economy in accordance with this general price increase. Now, despite of its popularity, the idea of a consumer price index or CPI is flawed, my friends. Don't buy into it. Follow through with some of these headlines. Some of these I'm sharing with you now are on Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Interesting article that I chose to post more for personal reasons. As many of you know, I've told the story many times. I bought my first silver when I was 10 years of age, and my first gold 2 years later. And the silver that I was purchasing was with my grandfather. Silver dollars. Predominantly peace dollars at that time. And because of that brief little thing I just shared with you, I came across an article that I decided to publish at Sierra Madre Precious Metals called What I Learned from My Grandfather About Money. How amazing. What an amazing story. I could have changed a few words here and there and put a picture of my grandfather in there at the coin show with his girlfriend, Thea. The story was pretty much the same. Very, very, very interesting. It's always enjoyable to find stories like that. Stocks sink. Now, they stink, too, but that's different. Stock sink as the yield curve tumbles to the biggest inversion in 40 years. Well, somewhere between 4.75 and 5 and a quarter seems a reasonable place to think about as we go into the next meeting. That was said by this guy at the interview on CNBC. And so that does put it in the line of sight that we would get to a point where we would raise and hold. Pausing is off the table right now. Not even part of the discussion. Right now, the discussion is rightly in slowing the pace. They're talking about inflation. They're talking about what's going on at the stock market. I think Or maybe I forgot to post the right stuff. Who the heck knows? Hey, question. What do you think the Fed's going to do when oil hits $300 a gallon, baby? Huh? I mean, can you imagine that OPEC pulled back on their production and sent oil to $300? Given how tight the oil market currently is, it wouldn't even be that hard for them to achieve that. Given how annoyed they are with Biden and Powell, it's easy to see how they'd want to do this, how to prove a point. Meanwhile, the rapid spike in oil prices would dramatically increase OPEC's revenue, even with fewer barrels sold, making you wonder why they hadn't already done this. Simple. At $300 oil, U.S. economy would collapse. Assume the position. I ain't bending over for no oil. Not me. No thanks. It's the pits, baby. Well, 1 week from today, I think, we'll all be sitting down for dinner. Thanksgiving dinner with all them trimmings. It's going to cost us 20% more than last year. New data shows the average meal is going to set Americans back about $64. 10 out of 11 main ingredients all shoot up in price. Can you imagine that? In 2021, Americans paid an average of $53.31 on the Holiday Inn. But now the meal, with all them fixings included, is about to jump up to $64 plus. Milk up 16%. Peas up 23%. The veggie tray up 8%. Sweet taters up 11%. Stuffing mix 69%. Are you out your damn mind, Jim? There's dinner rolls. They'll be up 22%. Cranberries up 14%. Turkey is going to be up 21%. And I'm telling you, these turkeys the last couple of years have gotten nastier and nastier. I don't like them. Pumpkin pie mix up 18%. Whooping creams going up 18%. No, I'm sorry about that. Whooping cream going up 26%. Pie crust going up 26%. Man, this is getting insane. I mean, it'd be a lot easier just to sit down and go to the Kentucky the Fried Chicken and just get a plate full of chicken and the hell with it. Pretend like it's turkey. It's sad. Real, real sad. I was working on a program for today, night before last. It became exceedingly intense. And there's something about it that I recognized. Something in the title. It's not the title of what I originally recognized, but that came to me today. And I am not going to do this on the program because, number one, I would need the entire hour plus to do it. And we don't have that kind of time left. We're down to 40 minutes or thereabouts. But I'm going to tell you something. I strongly urge you, when we get off the air, to go to federalobserver.com. I think it finally got cleaned up. We had a problem with it. I'm pretty sure we did. I know we did, because I'm looking at it right now. The author is named Come on. Jim Quinn of the Burning Platform. And this is an ongoing series he's been doing for a good number of years now. And once a year, he sits down and expounds upon it. And it deals with the fourth turning. In this case, the winter of death. No, he makes reference to things that make it sound like it's the winter, the cutting off of the TV and electricity flickering out and batteries fading, cutting off the radio, phones go dead, blah, 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 blah. But the fourth turning is far more in depth than that. Today is one of those days that it's rare. I could sit down and have this conversation for the next 2 hours and keep you drawn in because it's that powerful. What are the things we deal with in a fourth turning? Chaotic current, political nuances, general confusion, antagonists, event-driven upheaval. According to Joe, we're currently involved with this 14th year of this crisis. 14th year of the fourth turning. What could that possibly mean, Bennett? I strongly urge you to go to federalobserver.com after the program tonight. And I strongly invite you to go read slowly and carefully this amazingly intense piece of work. I just sit there and wonder how Jim's got the ability to go do this year after year after year. And not just want to throw up your hands in the air and say, it's done. But because I understand that nothing happens overnight. It's unreal. It's well worth the read. I think it will begin to answer a lot of what has happened over the course of the last year within the public food system. That's worth it all. And maybe it'll allow us to better understand what's coming up for the coming year. As he states in his closing, history offers no guarantees. Obviously, things could go horribly wrong. The possibilities ranging from a nuclear exchange to incurable plagues, from terrorist anarchy to high-tech dictatorship. And we should not assume that Providence will always exempt our nation from the irreversible tragedies that have overtaken so many others. Not just temporary hardship, but debasement. Total ruin. Losing in the next fourth turning could mean something incomparably worse. Could mean a lasting defeat from which our national innocence, perhaps even our nation, might never recover. And so understand the risk of catastrophe will be high. Our nation could erupt into insurrection or civil violence. Crack up geographically, succumb to authoritarian rule. If there is a war, it is likely to be one of maximum risk and effort. In other words, a total war. Every fourth turning, my friends, has registered an upward ratchet in the technology of destruction and in mankind's willingness to use it. Do we face the end? These are things that you will have to decide. Go to federalobserver.com after the program tonight. 4th turning. The winter of death. It is our 3rd post down from the top. And yet, what is more important than that? Nothing. And yet, there were other pieces that continue to come to me over the past couple of days. And they have reignited my angers, and my needs, and my desires to move forth, to add to our websites, which for the last several months have been not doing well, because I've just not been there. It's difficult for me to do what I'm accustomed to doing. Tonight, I'm weak of voice. I'm weak of attitude. I'm tired and worn out. So we're going to do something tonight we don't too often do on this program, willingly. We're going to take a break. And before we do, my friend Fred tried to call you a while ago. I'll try to reach you after the program tonight. I know you tried calling me 3 or 4 times last night to see about ordering some DVDs. We'll talk about it. But something else came to pass in my life today that may or may not have shocked me, and I don't know that yet, nor will I know that until we speak. So let's make sure when this program is over tonight, Fred, that we do talk. And so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I can't do that one, Michael. I'm sitting here still trying to come up with a title for this program. And the piece we're going to share with the audience has got a title that there ain't no living way in you know where that I'm going to try to use it. But I'm going to send it to you just so you can see what this perspective title could be. I don't think we can get away with that one. Jeez. Oh, boy. I at least folks have maintained a degree of sense of humor tonight, although few of you understand what it is. It's crazy. Anyway, we're I don't know how long away. It's so rare that I take a break. Here we go. We're rolling. I'll be back.
It's a growing business of some people in the street who do not have a job. Open up the bottom falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks. Well, you can run and hide, but you just can't change the facts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. We tell our kids to just say no, and then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go. Slaps him on the wrist and it turns it back out on the town. But if I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up behind, let them swing till the sun goes down. Hey, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says it, so I know it's the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go and remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man. Now, I'm the kind of man who'd not harm a mouse. But if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side.
Early Dickens. I never grow tired of him. His words were plain and simple, and right to the point. Consider America today by comparison with Japan, China, Korea. America's a barbarity, a dumpster, an asylum, an abattoir, and frankly, an astonishment. In the words of Der Führer, so many decades ago, he said, make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. As a sentiment, as a sentient have presumably noticed, the United States, my friends, is in crisis. Our country's problems are profound, intrinsic, without solution, and worsening. And when a population reaches the point of despair, even desperation, when it sees a darkening future for itself and its children, people yearn for a strong man who will forcibly put things right. And yet it's unlikely that helicopters of Marines from Quantico will descend on the White House and announce the dictatorship of some general. Military officers are too well paid and comfortable to worry about the country. It's hard to imagine an American Mussolini. Trump is a caricature. No one else cares to come to mind. And yet unrest, yes, less euphemistically chaos on the order of Mr. Floyd's massive riots is possible. We've seen it. We can see it again. And as we said, consider America today by comparison with Japan and China and Korea. San Francisco loses conventions because of needles and excrement on the sidewalks. And almost weekly, we see multiple shootings in stores, high schools, and now grade schools. Murders of whites by blacks run at 30 a month. And the news being suppressed. And in cities across the country, crime is out of control. And our tax bases are moving out. Bail abolished so criminals are freed within hours. Stores leave to escape undiscouraged shoplifting and robbery. And 700 homicides a year in Chicago alone. 300 in Baltimore. And at least twice as many shot but survived. Similar numbers in a dozen cities, my friends. For practical purposes, law no longer exists in these ungovernable enclaves. Sexual curiosities, once called perversions, flourish with American embassies hoisting flags in support of transsexualism. Mobs topple historical statues. Many tens of thousands live on sidewalks, and 100,000 a year die of opioid overdoses. This country dropped math requirements, English grammar in schools, AP courses, SATs, they're all considered racist today. And our economy declines. The jobs have left for other climes, and medical care is beyond most people's means. Government is corrupt, incompetent. Wars seem unending. There is now actual hatred between racial and political and regional groups. Ominously, gun sales are up. The question I pose to you is, how is this going to end well? How, my friends, did we get here? America's never been a nation in the correct sense of the word, a people sharing values, language, a culture. Rather, America's been and is a collection of peoples having little in common and often disliking each other. West Virginia has nothing in common with Massachusetts, which has nothing in common with the Deep South, which has nothing in common with coastal California, which has nothing in common with Cavalier Virginia, which has nothing in common with Latinos, who have nothing in common with blacks. And up until perhaps the early 60s, the regions got along with each other reasonably well because there was little communication between them. Roads were poor. The internet was not even on the horizon. Radio stations and newspapers were local, reflecting the surrounding culture and taste. And the central government was remote and had little influence locally. Each region lived as it wished. And providing a degree of commonality was that the country was overwhelmingly white, European, Anglophone, and at least nominally Christian. It was socially conservative, largely consisting of small towns. And the resulting culture was unsophisticated but civilized. And in the suburbs of Washington, you could really leave your bike anywhere and it would be there when you came back. And in the summertime, children really could play great, sprawling, multi-block games of hide-and-seek after dark, and no one worried. In the high school in rural Virginia, the boys had guns for hunting deer and shooting varmints in the bean fields, and you could leave your 410 in the back seat of your jalopy in the school's parking lot. I did that with my gun back in the early 1960s when I went to high school. Nobody thought of shooting anyone. It wasn't in the culture. But if a thing isn't in the culture, it doesn't happen. You don't need the policeman, baby. The boys didn't use bad language around the girls or vice versa, and nobody even thought of disrespect to teachers. Well, they were class clowns, but no real misbehavior. It wasn't in white, technically Christian, semi-rural culture. And then many things began to happen in no particular order. The reach of the federal government grew and grew, and Washington had been a distant city concerning itself with foreign policy and the economy, could now impose its values upon remote society, and it chose to do so. Oh, and Washington discovered the separation of church and state, which had lain unnoticed in the Constitution since 1789. And in regions of deep religiousness, it became illegal to recite the Lord's Prayer, to have creeches on the town square at Christmas, or to sing carols on the public streets. It had nothing to do with meticulous adherence to the Constitution, but everything to do with the discovery by angry minorities that they can impose upon majorities. And in short, like many movements to come, it became revenge operations. It has become a de facto program of de-Christianization, a weakening, a source of social cohesion, and leading to anger. And the federal government began to dictate what could be taught in schools. Teachers were forbidden to mention creationism because a judge in Philadelphia who appeared to have the specific grasp of a potato chip said that this transgressed the doctrine of separation. And the decision had little practical relevance, as there was no likelihood that hearing of Genesis would turn students away from the study of biochemistry. It was, however, an early manifestation of class snobbery against what was seen as primitive Christianity that would later coalesce into hostility toward the deplorables. And then remote anonymous committees in New York wrote highly ideological textbooks imposed on distant states which did not share those ideologies. And the effectiveness of this relied on the principle that outraged parents in Arkansas would have no idea how to oppose distant bureaucracies of whose existence they were unaware and whose phone numbers they couldn't even find. See, American government is democratic while not allowing the public to and the people to exercise power. It is a brilliant system until it explodes. And thus we face compulsory racial integration as distinct from desegregation was an untarnished disaster. Few wanted it, few want it still. The people who imposed it did not and do not send their children to black schools. The racist transparency do not want to live together. If blacks move into white neighborhoods, white flight occurs. And if whites moved into black neighborhood, blacks furiously complain of gentrification, baby. You see, when two cultures have utterly different views of acceptable language and dress and behavior and study and curricula, mixing them does not work. In the schools, academic standards fall. Discipline became a problem in America. And across America, cities burn because of conflict between black populations and white police. You see, Euro-white culture, it turned out, was incompatible with Negro culture. And the potential for yet greater disaster seemed great, and no one has a solution to this day. And maybe there isn't one. And the Constitution, which once brought political stability, withered, is being ignored or interpreted into unrecognizability by judges or made irrelevant by changes in technology and society. Freedom of speech, which meant that I could say that the president was a fool and should be removed from office, became freedom of expression, meaning that porn sites accessible to children of 9 years could upload videos of a German shepherd copulating with a beautiful blonde tied down to a bed. Some doubted that the writers of the Constitution had that in mind when providing the Bill of Rights, but none could gainsay the Supreme Court or the federal power. And then the behemoths of the electronic media imposed political censorship. And being private enterprises, they could not be disciplined. They became more and more an arm of the central government, which became more and more the property of the northeastern coastal elites. Entities with names like Google and Twitter and Facebook cleanse themselves of content through inappropriate websites delisted, credit card accounts closed. And people disappeared by the electronic media were almost as disappeared as those disappeared in Latin America, though less bloodily, of course. The intention became one of the same. An unexpected effect of censorship that was that those doing the censoring also tended to censor themselves. The media talking to each other, reading each other, having no contact with or interest in the silence nor deplorable, had no idea of the anger out there, which brought us Floyd and Trump as deep wells of undetected anger exploded. And my friends, the media are doing it once again. The current regime in Washington appears deliberately and intensively divisive. Biden has attacked the South, supporting renaming of military bases in deliberate affront. And a thorough racist, he frequently denounces whites. He denounces Trump supporters, nearly half of America. Biden has ostentatiously chosen black women as justice of the Supreme Court, member of the Federal Reserve, vice president, White House spokesman. While these may or may not be competent, he announced them as diversity hires. He is poised to assault owners of guns, sure to provoke fury, has involved America in another war, and wants a federal ministry of truth to prohibit ideas that he doesn't like. Profoundly partisan. Joey makes no attempt to calm things or promote tranquility. And the universality of the internet made difficult or impossible the maintenance of distinct values or mores. It became impossible for the cultivated to inculcate in their children's manners or good English or appreciation of learning when the electronics bathed them in not only the traditionally low culture of America, but also the anti-civilization of the ghetto. America undergoes both enforced gentrification and homogenization. And anger grows. And hence we have the Congress and the Constitution largely cease to function, leading presidents to rule by executive order, this not being entirely distinguishable from dictatorship. This includes the making of war, which became both common and beyond public influence, and the legislature no longer governed but was the storefront for special interests of immense power, and there remained no body interested in the well-being of the country. All which led to the offshoring of jobs and poverty in Appalachia and the Rust Belt and rural Deep South and the impoverishing influx of cheap Mexican labor. It led to Donald Trump and intense regional hatred. And here we are. And it cannot last, my friends. The haters are intense. The guns are everywhere. Anger is growing at crime. Something akin to economic desperation is appearing. Washington will leave nowhere alone. Will not address national problems. Will always give priority to its military, its wars, and its empire over domestic needs. One must think of all of these things. The hostility that fueled the Floyd riots, the burning cities, and the looting and the vengeful vandalism. It's all still here, my friends. She's going to blow. Watch it. And with that, my friend Michael, you were right. Maybe we should go ahead and use that title. I can modify it ever so slightly. We come near the end of tonight's program. I have little energy tonight. I do apologize for you. It has been a very strange day for me. I have spent more time in bed than I would like. I'll probably get off the air, go to bed for a couple hours, and wake up and not be able to sleep all night. We'll see what happens tomorrow. It's Friday. I'm working on some. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. Do you think
these are the days of the open hand? We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich.
rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. To what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.